Welcome back to Central Point with me, Shireen. Thank you for being here. Week 3, episode 3. And it's, did you say if? Was that a if I heard? Now, with if, okay, we can have ifs that, you know, they're all right. When someone's being hypothetical and they're like, if you were in a zombie apocalypse, what 3 items would you take? You know, and then you can get involved in that. You're like, yo, my Bible, my lock bottle that sterilizes water. And that's the third thing I would take. I love how I just said this and now I'm actually thinking about it. But genuinely, what's the third thing I would take, Shireen? What would you take, girl? Your Bible, your lock bottle. I don't know. Like, with my phone would die. I'd have to take a charger with the phone. And even though, yes, my Bible's on my phone, you know what? This is taking too much time. This is not the point of the episode. So we're going to just skip that because now I'm realizing that I probably wouldn't get very far in a zombie apocalypse. Okay, so those type of ifs we happily get involved in, you know what I mean? We start thinking no one's offended, no one's anything, because it doesn't really, not that it doesn't say much about you, but it kind of does in a way now that I've deeped it a little bit. And that wasn't the intention of that example at all. It's like, oh, it says a lot about like who you are or what's important to you. No, that's not intention at all. But with this particular if that I want to talk about, it is an if that questions who you are. It is an if that stirs up a negative response or a pressure response to prove that you are not whom you say you are, but whom God says you are. So case in point, I know who I am. Like, on an earthly standpoint, I know that I'm a walker, right? I'm a walker. I am part of the walker family. If someone said to me, if you're a walker, do X, Y, and Z, I would look at them sideways. I said Z, it's Z, I'm English. If someone said to me, if you're a walker, do X, Y, and Z, I would look at them sideways. I'd be like, I don't need to do your X, your Y, or your Z. I am a walker, right? We're not out here trying to prove which family we belong to. We know whom we belong to. And the sort of the idea of having to prove that you are who you are from like an earthly standpoint is kind of ridiculous in a way. It's like, I'm not going to do that. And I won't feel pressured to do so. But in some cases, people might feel pressured to prove their place in a home, in a family even. And that can be done in toxic home and family environments, which just literally just came to me. It wasn't even part of my notes. And it can be an unhealthy thing, and it can be a debilitating thing, and it can be an exhausting thing, a fatiguing thing to have to do. Because people fail to see something in you, or they insinuate that you're not something. It's hard. It's a very hard thing to deal with. But yeah, usually, hopefully, I hope not, you can say your first and last name and stand on it and say that's who I am. Now we could go deep and go, well, who is that person? That is not this episode. We can go deeper another time. I want to keep it here. Inputting myself, if you're Shireen Walker, then do this. So, like, what am I getting at? You know, this podcast is all about positioning you as a child of God. That is who God says you are. And I want to look at our fantastic ultimate example, Jesus, who God himself declared as his son. And I want to just look at Jesus for a moment. We're going to just focus the lens on Jesus as the prime example in this episode, rather than Jesus within other people's stories in the Bible. We're going to look at Jesus. And we're going to look at Jesus at his baptism, what God said, declared, and then what followed very swiftly after such a declaration. So if we turn to Matthew 3 for Jesus's baptism. I don't know, that'd be awesome to have seen. I'm going to read from verse 16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, one day, good and faithful servant, you know, good and faithful servant. I am hoping for that day. So this, I don't know how awesome and amazing this moment must have been for this voice from heaven to declare such a thing. But focusing the lens on Jesus, just hearing that. I don't know about you, but one of my love languages is physical touch. And so when people say something that I find particularly comforting, I'm like, oh, it just feels like a big hug. I'm like, this is so lovely. It feels like a hug. This would just feel like the ultimate embrace is hearing these words. And what happens after this is just, all I'm saying is the father of lies, like, he's just, get out of here. So Matthew 4, continue the next chapter. I'm just going to read from verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. I love fasting. I actually really do. It's supernatural. And by the time this episode is actually released, I'll be like in my last week of 21 day fast with my church. So yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to that fast. But we're talking about a really hungry man right now. A really hungry man. God made flesh. Still a man. Still felt hunger. He wasn't there like, oh, I'm super strong right now. Ha, what's food and water? You know, he is starving. And that old nonsense, the devil, comes about. Verse 3. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, and that's Jesus, but Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." I'm sorry, but I have to pause with some just Shireen ad lib here. Feisty. Fall down and worship. Does that remind you of episode 2? Where Nebuchadnezzar was like, fall down at the sound of music. What is with these counterfeits? What is with these false deities and people that want worship, but you fall down? It's just the audacity for me. About fall down. I'm going to repeat verse 9. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. It's well known. It's another well-known part of the Bible, the scriptures that we come to, and we focus on the fact that it is written, and Jesus knowing the scriptures and having the word living in him, etc. I want to focus on the ifs. I want to focus on the ifs. 40 days prior, he had heard from the mouth of God who he is, was, is, who he is. And the devil comes in, and just like in the Garden of Eden, right? Has God surely said? Right? Because that's what he's insinuating. Oh, if you are what God says you are, then do this. I'm sorry, but no. That if, right there, Jesus knew straight away, this is no angel. This is no friend. This is nothing, no one on the side of my Father. They would not question what God has said. They would not question what God has declared. This is not something I have to prove to you. This is something I simply am. And I think it's important. I do. I think it's important for us to keep this in the forefront, and I keep saying it, and I will keep saying it. To we grasp the magnitude of it, and then we keep going with it, because it's the most important thing. Identity is where all things come from, right? From inside of us. How we act, how we treat people. I say it over and over, and I'll keep saying it, and we will delight in who we are in Christ, and we will delight in the scriptures. And by God's grace, I will bring up examples of why identity is super important. The devil said, if. And when he couldn't use his identity, he just went on to worship, which is always the case with counterfeit anything. It wants worship at the end of the day. The counterfeit thing wants your worship. Our worship belongs to God and God alone. But the counterfeit thing, whatever the counterfeit thing is, that you identify with more so than your identity with in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Case in point, your job, your career, what you've studied for, the name on that, whatever that title is, if that is what you identify more with than your identity in Christ, it's a part of you, absolutely. Your gifting, your talents, your everything, right? And what makes you and what God has equipped you for, allowed you to do that thing with excellence by his excellent spirit. Hallelujah. But if that is above simply what God has said you are. And it's not even simply, it's the most magnificent thing. That thing can get in the way of yours and God's relationship. It can consume more than who you are in Him and how He would have you be in the world. So I want to ask you, as a child of God, what ifs have come in? If you look at your life, if you analyze some things, what ifs have come in that cause you to doubt who God has said you are? That cause you to waver in the good news of the gospel because it is just too good, because this, that, and the other. Input whatever you'd like as an example. What ifs have had you operating from a place of striving rather than surrender? Trying to prove instead of simply proving it by how you walk. Trying to convince others and yourself of who you are instead of just resting and delighting in who you are. And by resting and delighting in who you are, allowing others to experience what it is for a person to live their life hid in Christ. And then they watch said person who is grounded, anchored, it's like an anchor to the soul of their identity, and they want that. And they find out it's Jesus. And they go after Jesus. And they get anchored. And then someone watches them. I think of this domino effect of light pouring out. Love pouring out. The devil's ifs lead to us doing things in our own willpower, strength, relying on self suddenly to make something happen. I could not save myself. I can't save myself. Why am I suddenly now trying to prove that I'm saved? I don't need to prove it. I am. And because I am, the Holy Spirit's in me to do the works of the Father, to walk in the Spirit. It is because He has, and it will be done because it was already done. Okay, let's look at some different ifs. Let's look at some different ifs. Let's look at Jesus' ifs, yeah? We looked at the devil's ifs. And we're not about those, right? Get behind me, Satan, with your ifs and your buts. Right? But let's look at the one who has secured us, has saved us, redeemed us, loved us, right? Let's look at His ifs, and let's look at the difference between the devil and his ifs and the Lord and His ifs. Okay. So first one, I want to turn to John 8, and I want to look at the Pharisees and how they declare themselves children of Abraham, and they also declare themselves children of God. In verse 41, in the second half of that verse, it says, "Then they said to him," this is the Pharisees, "we were not born of fornication, we have one Father, God." Jesus' response, verse 42. Jesus said to them, If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. If God were your father, you would love me. Let's look at disciples. An if regarding disciples. John 13, verse 35. And it reads, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And you know what? This is not some ordinary love, okay? If we go to Luke 6, 32, Jesus again is very clear. "But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them." And that was past you, okay? That's not current you, child of God. Past you, what he knew how to love people that love you. He's like, don't try that. Mm-mm. I'm calling you to greater love. But I'm not calling you to a love that I have not shown myself, that I haven't exhibited myself, that I will not pour out myself. The awesome example is Jesus. I love it. Another if, another Jesus if. And it's in the following chapter of John. John 14. And it's verse 15. "If you love me." If you love me, keep my commandments. I'm hearing a running theme in these ifs. Next chapter of John, John 15, verse 10. Following on from what we read in John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." I want you to hear this if as a promise. We are children of the promise at the end of the day. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." What word keeps coming up with these ifs from Jesus? Love. What a difference a savior makes. What a difference. The devil's ifs were self-serving, self-centered. "You're son of God, go make these rocks bread, you need to eat. You're son of God, go throw yourself off a high place because he'll carry you," apparently. You know, just things that are in a way boastful. They're in a way boastful and not in a good way. The only thing we're supposed to boast in is Christ. And gosh, I can boast about Christ all day. Hence this podcast. The devils are self-serving, selfish, even his worship. He said he'd give him, I don't remember. What did he say? Doesn't really matter what the devil says. But like the worship, what did he offer him? "Oh yeah, I'll give you kingdoms of the world and glory." What glory? Absolute nonsense. I'm telling you now, the devil cannot offer you any glory. Just FYI, I know you know this. But honestly, this guy is a whole liar. He's a whole liar. What kind of dusty glory can you provide? Goodness me. But you, like, the difference between Christ's ifs and the devil's ifs. Which one are you going to sit in? Which one are you going to meditate on? The promise? The love if? Well, the doubting if. The prove it if. The prodding if. Beloved, rest in your identity in Christ. Step into thanksgiving. Delight and rejoice. The devil wants you to see yourself as less than. If you see yourself as less than, you'll act less than. It will follow. Do not be hoodwinked into seeing yourself as less than what God has said you are. Because it is Him who works in you, His good will. It is His Spirit in you. Oh my gosh. And because of His Spirit in you, let's read Romans 8. Let's read Romans 8. But earlier on in the chapter, I read Romans 8 earlier. But let's go back up in the chapter. Reading from verse 14. And just listen to these words. Really take them in. This is the truth of your life. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And it doesn't stop there, it continues. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. This is just such a mind-blowing truth.
It's like it just keeps getting better and better and better, you know? It's just like, oh, by the way, and this. And then you have this thing that you say, joint heir with Christ. What in the magnificent gift? I can't even comprehend that. I don't understand it. I just need to say it is written and go, wow, I don't know why it has to be that good. I don't get it. And it just can't follow on. If indeed we suffer with Him and that we may also be glorified together. But don't be worried about that suffering. Yeah, I think Paul keeps saying this light affliction that he went through. And he went through a lot. Because the world doesn't know God. The world is in darkness. He is the light. And darkness will always fight light. But no matter what people say, what the world tries to do, how they mock Christ, which really, I can't stand it. I really can't stand it. Doesn't make us any less children. So they can say what they want to say, they can insinuate what they want to insinuate. Doesn't matter. What does matter is what God has said you are. What He has provided for you to be so. If you are in Christ, if you are in Christ, if you have taken hold, hallelujah, of the good gospel, taken hold of your salvation, your reality in him. As the beginning of this entire chapter says, everyone knows in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, child of promise. Don't let the ifs and the buts of the devil in. Let them stay on the outside, ricocheting off your helmet of salvation, your breastplate of righteousness, ricocheting off your shield of faith. You can like slice them up with your sword of the spirit, you know what I mean? Just cha-cha-cha. I do not think so. See, I did that motion and I felt like a lightsaber and said, oh, it's light as well. Don't mind me. Don't mind me. But yeah. Oh, please be encouraged. Please allow yourself to just accept it is that good. The reality is that good. That we have access to all of heaven at our disposal. You know, God will send angels. He has already given you his spirit to walk accordingly to, my goodness, to his presence. As he fills a room, as he lives within you. As you experience yourself in real time in pressured situations, and you're like, why am I so calm? How am I so calm? And you're like, wow, thank you, Jesus, you know? This glorious reality that we have, that we read in Romans 8. Children, and if children, heirs, joint heirs, you know, like, so much. The father of lies will take this glorious truth and twist it. He will use the magnitude and greatness and just wonderfulness and out of this worldness of it and burden you. If you are this, if you are joint heir with Christ, and then input guilty, input past event, input words you wish you had never said, input whatever he wants to input, because he'll input something. We better be like Jesus and shout at the devil. It is written, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's read it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is you, beloved. And if you are new and you are exploring, that will be you, beloved. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let's continue reading, because I just love that we have this ministry. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Get behind me, Satan. I am who he says I am. I hope you're joy-filled. I really, really do. I really, really do. Oh, it's just so good. It's just so good, beloved. It's just so good. Now, when you have time this week, later on, whenever you're listening to this, I want to encourage you to read Ephesians 1, verses 1 to 14, but make it personal. Okay, say your name. Say I and my instead of the us and the we and the our and the you, whatever the words are that are not personal, change them to yours. Read it. Read it again. Read it again. That is you. That is you. And I will see you next week by God's grace. But before I close out, let's pray. Let's pray. Most kind and gracious Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the love that you have for us. Thank you that you have called us to walk in such a way that you've made our reality so mind-blowing, so good that it's just like, it's unbelievably good, actually. It's unbelievably good. But yet we have chosen to have faith. We have chosen to believe you for this magnificent life. Thank you for speaking to us through your word. Thank you for speaking to us through your spirit. Thank you for your spirit that allows us to read this word and take on the truths of it, knowing that they are words of life, that they are living, Father God. Thank you for everyone who is listened in today, dear Lord. Be with them. I ask that if anything came up and condemnation sprouted through, I just rebuke that in the name of Jesus. It's not about that. It's not about how you may have listened to the devil in the past. It's not about that. It's about right now. It's about owning completely being a child. Being a child. And walking in that. And listening for your still voice, Father. Thank you for speaking always. And if you are quiet and silent, it's because you are watching us, not because you are far, but you are simply watching us. And you know that you don't have to come in right now. Thank you for embracing us through your words, through the example of your son. Thank you that we have such an example as Jesus to look to and to delight in and not feel the pressure to be, but be like, wow. His spirit dwells in me. I will walk how he walked. Because the spirit, your Holy Spirit, dwells in me, I will love how he loves. What a wonder. What a promise, Father God. And thank you that you've called us to such a beautiful life to experience here presently on earth. May your name always be glorified. May your kingdom come, Father God, in our lives. May the world see you in us. Wow. It is a wonder. You are a wonder to us. And we are just so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Honestly, I really appreciate you coming back to listen, spend time in delight with me, focus in. And by God's grace, I will see you next week, episode 4. And we're keeping the lens on Jesus. God bless.